It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 49 of the Run, Solve, Repeat podcast, where we talk about life with a side of running. My name is Kelly Roberts, and I'm the one-woman show behind this crazy operation. And today, I want to talk about... I really want to talk about the struggle that is setting a goal, going for it, falling short, trying again, falling short, trying again, once again falling short, and then still finding the courage and the drive to keep persisting, because it's that grit and perseverance that inspired this project that I launched recently with Strava. It's called Project 159. So I have to be honest. This Project 159, it started when Nike launched Breaking 2, which was this publicity stunt / insane science experiment to like break 2 hours in the marathon. It's a barrier that is physiologically impossible as of now. They recruited their best male athletes. They threw everything they have, spent $1 billion. And then put these athletes on a track with the right pacers, and they ran in circles, and they tried to break 2 hours in the marathon. It was incredible. To even like say that this whole Breaking 2 thing wasn't totally insane and incredible it was crazy. It was a total athletic breakthrough, but it was boring as hell. Did I watch it? I watched it for like 5 minutes. And when comedian Kevin Hart came on and couldn't make it entertaining and funny, I was like, I'm going to bed and I will read the article tomorrow to hear if they did it. But here is the thing. I think it's incredible to run towards impossible. It's what motivates me. BQ or bust, my own year-long pursuit to make impossible possible was a similar thing, except instead of a huge budget and all the resources, it was me trying to scrap together resources to make it happen, because that's real life. but setting a goal, falling short, and then trying again, it totally changed my life, because the things I learned about myself and how I pursue a goal and how I see myself in the grander scheme of things and doubt and all these things that I didn't think I was capable of overcoming or even trying to do, it was just eye-opening. But this idea of breaking 2 hours in the marathon, as inspiring as it is, I can't relate to it. What I can relate to is breaking 2 hours in the half marathon, because that was a goal that I really struggled to break through. So I called one of my sponsors, Strava, which is a social media app for athletes. And if you don't have it, go download Strava. It's so much fun. It is insanely addictive to track your friends and see who's doing what. And I'm gonna run regardless, but being able to run and then make it funny, I'm making titles of my activities funny is like my favorite thing in the world to do. And then I love trolling my friends and commenting on their activities. It's just a lot of fun. Strava's it's a great idea. It's a great app. I love it. I use it. I believe in it. But they're super supportive of me. So I called them up and I asked my friend and partner in crime, Mega. I said, Mega, I love this idea, but I have an idea. What if we found a way to help the hundreds of thousands of runners working to break 2 hours in the half marathon do that? And what if we talk to those people? Because I don't think that people who are trying to break 2 hours in the half marathon get talked to or represented enough. So we talked and we brainstormed, and Strava went back and they looked at their data and they found that only 31% of women and 67% of men have broken 2 hours and a half, which is an incredible number. I mean, 31% of women. And so I did some more digging and I don't even remember what the website is, but there's all these statistics that you can find on, you know, the half marathons and marathons that are run in the United States, how many people do it, you know, what are the ethnicities, blah, 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 female men. And I was looking, and in 2015, like the average finishing time for women was like 2 hours and I think 22 minutes. So obviously for women, this is huge, men as well. But the reason it resonates so huge with me is that it took me a really long time to break 2 hours in the half marathon. And it was something that I really struggled to do because I built this huge mental mind block. So the way I started running half marathons is kind of crazy. Like I ran my first one super underprepared, and it was a total mental, I have to do this kind of thing. Like I almost walked off the course, but then this woman, she came up next to me and we did it together and I survived and I had a pretty great time. But I was ignorance is bliss. Like that was, if there's like a sentence that could explain my first year of running, it was that ignorance is bliss. And I didn't know better. I didn't know what I was doing. And I didn't know how to stop myself from going after it. Because I think that those mental mind blocks come with experience for me. That's what I experienced. So the second time I ran a half marathon, I don't even know what it was, but the first time I did it, I remember we crossed the finish line and that day was so surreal. I remember sitting on the floor on the concrete of a parking lot at Disneyland where we ran the half and just looking at the medal and thinking, holy shit, I just ran a half marathon. That's something that I never even thought I'd want to do or be kind of capable of doing. Like it just never even crossed my radar and it all happened so quickly. And I just felt so different. And I remember me and my best friend, Irene, who is the reason I started running. She is an incredible person. We've been best friends for like 20 something years. We've been through a lot together. And you know those friends who there's no bullshit with them. Irene knows me inside and out. And she's the person who knows all of my tells. So if I'm trying to get out of something or if I'm trying to stop myself from doing something or believing myself, like Irene's the person who looks at me and says like, you're better than that. And I remember we went back to the hotel room. And I was laying in the fetal position, and Irene was like, do you think you'll do it again? This was right after her mom, Kathy, who's like my other mom. She was like, do you think you'll ever run a marathon? And I was like, I would rather die. Fast forward to 6 months later, and I ran a marathon. But I remember I was laying in the fetal position, and after Kathy asked me about a marathon, Irene was like, well, do you think you'll want to do it again? And I said, yeah, and next time I want to break two. Like, do you think I could break two? And Irene looked at me, and she had this smile on her face, and she said, like, absolutely, like, it's only a matter of time. And, you know, sometimes, like, having someone who you really respect believe in you and tell you that they believe that you can do it, it just kind of, like, does something to you. So I didn't know what it meant to break two. I just was like, it's going to happen. So the next time I ran a half marathon, it was, like, 2 months later. I was, I think, a month away from my first marathon or something. And I was just convinced I was going to break two because it's what I wanted. And I didn't know any better. I didn't know about pacing. I didn't know about negative splits. But I didn't know how to do that. I just thought you took out like a bat out of hell and held on for dear life. So that's what I did. Mile 10, I wanted to die. I thought I was going to die. Mile 11, thought I was going to poop my pants. Had to go to the bathroom. Like insane. It was easily one of the hardest half marathons I've ever done. Just because I ran like such a dummy. But crazy enough, like I ended up finishing in, I think, like 2 hours, 37 seconds, like something super close, super duper duper close. Like had I not gone to the bathroom, I would have done it. I don't know how, because it would take me like some 7 or 8 tries to before I actually broke two. And the next time I ran a half, like it was in my brain, like you just get faster. That's how this works. And that's not how it worked, because every race is its own race, and it comes with its own challenges and its own, you know, your fitness is different, where you're at is different. And the next half marathon I ran, like I was really far off. And every time I tried, and then I fell short of breaking 2 hours and a half, like this mental mind block that I started to build just got thicker and bigger and harder to break through. And it got to the point where I had, you know, fast forward, what, a year and a half, 2 years, and I had Run Selfie Repeat, my blog. I was a blogger. I was running with people who were faster. I was really like working pretty specifically towards doing this goal, but I couldn't do it. And the same thing would happen. I would get in the middle of the race, and there would come a point where I didn't have a watch. I was still running with an app, so I didn't know. I guess that was part of the problem, actually saying that out loud. I would get to a point where I would just doubt myself and everything hurt bad enough. And I would think, I can't do this. I can't go faster. This isn't going to happen. And then I would not give up, but I would pull back. So breaking through that was really, really hard. But I remember the day it happened. It was at the Disneyland half marathon, and I was running it with Irene and my sister. And that race was so special because Irene was living in Chile, and the three of us being together was just such a special experience. And even though we didn't run the entire race together, starting together and running a couple of miles together, it put my mind in such a different place. It wasn't about breaking two, it was about enjoying the experience. And then there came a point where Irene turned to me and she was like, I know you want to go. Give it your all. Like, I know you can do it. And again, there it was, that I know you can do it. And I did. I took off. And ironically enough, Run Disney, the race that you have to pay $400 million to run, they lost my time. Like, they didn't even get me at the 5K or the half marathon. But on my app, like, I finished really far under 1 or 2 hours. And so I know I did it. And it was just the biggest weight off my shoulders. And it was one of the best feelings I've ever had after running a race, because it was so special because I had worked so hard and it took me so long to break through that 2 hour barrier. It was incredible, just incredible. And it's something that I'll always carry with me, you know, how special and inspired I felt breaking through that barrier. But it took so long and it took so many tries. And every time it happened, like, I doubted myself more. So that's why I really, really, really wanted to launch Project 159, because there, you obviously, yes, you can do it alone. A lot of people do it, but it's not often that we talk about how long it takes us to try something after we fall short or fail. You know, it's always like, I set a goal and I did it. Those are the stories that get told. And we don't talk about what happens when we go for something and then we fall short, because it's really hard. But that's the reality of working towards these impossible goals. I mean, look what happened to me during the Chicago Marathon and then the London Marathon during my BQ or bust experiences. Like, two instances where I gave it everything I had in two very different ways. In Chicago, my first attempt to try to BQ, which is qualify for the Boston Marathon, if you don't know what a BQ is. In Chicago, I fell short of my goal, but I had this breakthrough race. I gave 150%, and I walked off that course feeling like I'd won, even though I fell short. But in London, my training was perfect that time around. I knew what to expect, and I went into it 100% sure that I could do it. But during the race, my injury flared up, and I dug myself into this mental mind grave and really, really struggled. So again, I fell short, but I didn't walk away feeling like I won, because I made a million excuses during the race. And even though after that experience, I kept saying, like, I'm not giving up on BQ or bust, like, I really wanted to. And I wasn't sure I wasn't going to give up. And I will say, I'm not giving up. I don't want to give up. I will try again. But it's really, really hard to go through the frustration of coming so close to something you've worked your ass off for and that you've told people about, and then time and time again, fall short or fail to make it happen. But making impossible possible, it requires grit and perseverance and persistence. And it means that you need to brush yourself off and keep going when every single doubt tells you that you can't do it. This past weekend during the Airbnb Brooklyn Half Marathon, which is one of the biggest half marathon, it is the biggest half marathon, I think, in the country, world, I don't know. It was like the maiden voyage of Project 159, because the best part about Project 159, besides being a club on Strava where people can share their stories and tips and tricks and just like find a community of people doing it as well, is that we are going to go out this summer and pace people, and that we're going to help people do it together because we're stronger together. It is so much easier, not so much easier. It's still going to be really hard. I guarantee that. But breaking through that barrier is easier when you have people next to you believing in you, telling you that you can do it. And this weekend during the Airbnb Brooklyn Half, like, it was the first time we did it. And it's so hard to watch people, watch them struggle, because I know that struggle. I've been through that struggle. I just went through that struggle during London. You know, when they turn to me and say, I don't think I can do it. I, you guys keep going. Because that, to me, like, it breaks my heart whenever anyone tells me that, go on without me, because you can't convince someone that they can do it. It's like, that's part of the reason why people have to try so many times, is because learning to say yes when that happens takes so long. And you have to trust that one day it will happen. Like, there will be a point where instead of saying, I don't think I can do this, you'll say, I think I can, and then yes, I can. But it takes time and it takes practice. It isn't easy to fail and try again. But it's just that much easier when you have a badass lady gang or a support system next to you, with you, telling you to keep fighting, reminding you how strong you are, reminding you not to give up and to keep pushing. Because whether or not you say yes and lean into that discomfort or that pain or that doubt, you're going to get to that finish line, and you're either going to get to it in like under your goal, or you're going to get to it knowing that you could have probably pushed harder, or wondering, could I have pushed harder? And that's the point of no regrets, no excuses. It's giving everything you have, whatever that means. And every single race is different. But that's why I wanted to take Project 159 on the road. That's why I want to help people make their impossible possible. You know, I want to be that voice that I could have used the so many times when I was trying, and instead of walking away feeling like this is never going to happen, I could have walked away knowing like this will happen. I just need to keep trying. So if you aren't on Strava, go download the app, follow me, join Project 159. It's a club. And then tell us why you're breaking too, like what that means to you, and then why, where you're going to do it and why you want to do it. And if you've already broken too, do it as well, because I think for so many of us, we struggled, and it's sharing those stories of our struggles the times that we literally gave 100% and then still fell short. Like those, there's so much value in those stories. So share it. And then just believe in yourself. Know that you can do it. It will not be easy, but anything is possible if you're willing to work for it. But don't give up. I know it can be really, really hard and really frustrating, but you have to keep fighting. Yeah, Project 159, it's pretty exciting. It's going to be a really fun summer. I'm excited to go out and see what we can do when we do it together. All right, I think we'll end there. Yeah. All right. You know what to do. Go out, kick ass, take names. I'll see you this summer. We're breaking two.